Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI urges the faithful to rediscover, understand, and celebrate the Sunday Eucharist. And the Pope prays for the victims of a tragic ferry disaster in the Philippines and appeals for lasting peace in the Lebanon. We hear from some of the participants at a Vatican-sponsored conference for Catholic Radio of what it means to work at the service of the Word of God. And Father Jim Brand continues in his series of reflections on the Book of Psalms. Pope Benedict XVI linked up live to the tens of thousands of pilgrims from the Americas, Africa, Asia and Europe gathered on the Plain of Abraham in Quebec, Canada, this Sunday as they celebrated Mass marking the end of the 49th International Eucharistic Congress. Giant screens carried the Pope's image and words across the meadow delivered from the Apostolic Palace here at the Vatican. Speaking in French and English, Pope Benedict's message was clear. Sunday is the day we honour Christ. We need to rediscover, understand, and respectfully celebrate the Sunday Eucharist. He called for a renewal of Eucharistic catechesis and awareness amongst priest and lay Catholics that the liturgy does not belong to us, that it is the Church's treasure.
I urge priests especially to give due honour to the Eucharistic rite, and I ask all the faithful to respect the role of each individual, both priest and lay, in the Eucharistic action.
Eucharistic action was another aspect examined during this week's Congress and underlined by the Pope as well as the call to communion.
It is by receiving the body of Christ that we receive the strength of unity with God and with another. We must never forget that the Church is built around Christ and that the Eucharist is a sacrament of the Church's unity, because we all form one single body of which the Lord is the head. We must go back again and again to the Last Supper on Holy Thursday, where we were given a pledge of the mystery of our redemption on the cross. The Last Supper is the locus of the nascent Church, the womb containing the Church of every age. In the Eucharist, Christ's sacrifice is constantly renewed. Pentecost is constantly renewed. May all of you become even more deeply aware of the importance of the Sunday Eucharist, because Sunday, the first day of the week, is the day when we honor Christ, the day when we receive the strength to live each day the gift of God.
Concluding his reflections on the 49th Congress, Pope Benedict noted that
Sunday, the first day of the week, is the day when we honor Christ, the day when we receive the strength to live each day the gift of God.
And then, to the delight of one delegation from across the Atlantic Ocean, the Holy Father revealed where the 50th International Eucharistic Congress will be held.
Dear friends, as a significant event in the life of the Church draws to a conclusion, I invite you all to join me in praying for the success of the next International Eucharistic Congress, which will take place in 2012 in the city of Dublin. I take this opportunity to greet warmly the people of Ireland as they prepare to host this ecclesial gathering. I am confident that they, together with all the participants at the next Congress, will find it a source of lasting spiritual renewal.
And the victims of a tragic ferry disaster in the Philippines, as well as those hit by the passage of Cyclone Fengshen, were in Pope Benedict XVI's prayers this Sunday. My colleague Ima McCarthy has this report.
Con viva emozione ho appreso stamane del naufragio nell'arcipelago delle Filippine di un traghetto
Speaking to visitors and pilgrims in St. Peter's Square after the midday Angelus prayer, the Pope expressed his deep sorrow on learning of the fate of over 700 people, passengers and crew, aboard the MV Princess of Stars, which capsized on high seas this weekend. So far, reports say that only 4 people have reached shore while rescue boats battle to reach the vessel. Many of the dead are young children, noted the Pope in his Angelus appeal, while relief workers report that the storm has left hundreds more dead, with the death toll feared to rise in the next 24 hours, submerging entire communities and setting off landslides throughout the archipelago. And it was in his reflections on this Sunday's Gospel that Pope Benedict urged people to take comfort in knowing that God is a Father full of mercy and goodness, and that those who love him need not fear.
To this Gospel reminds us that we are personally loved by our Heavenly Father, whose providence watches over us and frees us from all fear. May his consoling words strengthen us in our witness to the joy and hope proclaimed by the Gospel.
The beloved and tormented nation of Lebanon was also in the Pope's thoughts as he renewed his appeal for a lasting peace while marking the beatification of a Maronite Catholic monk who died over 50 years ago. In expressing his congratulations, the Pope said he hopes that this blessed intervention give this beloved and tormented country of Lebanon, which has suffered so much, a chance to finally move towards a stable peace. Last month, Lebanon ended its 18-month political crises with the Western-backed coalition government and the Hezbollah-led opposition reaching a Qatari-mediated accord. But delays in the formation of any national unity government, as stipulated in the accord, have raised fears of a further deterioration in the security situation within the country itself. From the English News Desk, I'm Ema McCarthy.
Thanks to Ema McCarthy for that report. And staying here in the Vatican, Pope Benedict urged Catholic radio broadcasters to continue their mission of opening people's hearts to Christ, even though their message may seem lost in a secular world teeming with noisy and more powerful mass media. Catholic radio workers are at the service of the Word of God, he said, which involves a patient sowing carried on day after day, hour after hour. The Pope was addressing the participants of a Vatican-sponsored Congress for Catholic radio. He told them that by being coherent witnesses to Christ and his Word, radio personnel can help open every person's heart to Christ, give the world new hope, and usher in a civilization of truth and love. The 3-day Congress was to discuss the identity and mission of a Catholic radio station. It was sponsored by the Pontifical Council for Social Communications and brought together more than 100 representatives from some 50 nations. Thanks to Catholic radio broadcasting, the Pope said, the Gospel can bring consolation to the lonely and the words of salvation to those who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And right here, speaking to me just before the conference began, 2 representatives of one of the most listened to Catholic radio stations in Southern Africa, Radio Veritas in Johannesburg, generously gave me of their time and their experience and sat down with me at length to chat about the challenges, the joys, and the difficulties of being a Catholic radio station in South Africa.
I'm Olinda Orlando. I'm from Johannesburg, and I am the station manager of Radio Veritas in Johannesburg.
And I'm Father Emil Blaser. I'm a Dominican priest, and together with Olinda, we founded Radio Veritas way back in 1999, and so we work full-time for the radio station. We have about a staff of 10 people. And it's our passion. We just love working in radio, Catholic radio.
We all love working in radio. The reason you're both here today is because tomorrow is the beginning of a Congress, the Catholic Radio Congress, which is organised by the Pontifical Council for Social Communications. I see it's got a theme, which is the identity and mission of a Catholic radio station. So I presume you're here to reflect on that and to give input to people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. But let's start by talking about Radio Veritas. Who you broadcast to and who your listeners are and how important is radio in South Africa?
Well, let me just kick off here, and Olinda, you can chip in. Way back in the mid-90s, I was working at the Bishops' Conference. I was Associate Secretary General, and I was also the press officer for the Bishops for 7 years. And we produced a television program, for a year, and I presented that and produced it together with a friend. And it was a very expensive exercise. So towards the end of that year, 1995, I think it was, I said to the bishops, unless you're going to underwrite this program and support it financially, we have to cut it. So I suggested then that we go into radio. And to cut a long story short, they agreed to that. And eventually, when I left the bishops' conference in 1999, I asked the bishops, could it be put under the auspices of a religious congregation, hoping that it would fall under the Dominicans, because I'm a Dominican. And it did. Eventually, it was handed to us. We consulted all the different religious superiors, and they agreed that it'd be taken over by us. And so it falls under the auspices of the Dominican order. And when I was given the green light, the first person I went to was Olinda. And she will remember that. And I said, Olinda, we're going to start a radio station. And she was thrilled, because she's a very creative person, a very hardworking person. And I've known Olinda for many, many years. We've worked together in Marriage Encounter and all sorts of things. So we were very excited about that, and we started off in a very small way. We had a little money, which we inherited from the Bishops' Conference at the time, and we hired a studio to start with, and an office, which was very small. And we did that for about 6 months, and then we moved into a building which was owned by the Dominicans, and we set up our studios, and we started working there for, I would say, the best part of seven or eight years, until eventually somebody said, we're going to give you money to buy a building, which was wonderful. So we looked around, and eventually we found the building, and together with the Knights of Da Gama in South Africa, we bought the building, which is now our own, and then we decided to set up our studios. And I needed money to set up studios, and we didn't have it. And I thought, if I went to funding agencies overseas, they would tell us to wait a year before we get any response at all. So eventually I really just made a list of all the wealthy Catholics I knew in South Africa, and I went to them and I said, I need 1.5 million rand. And if we could get 9 or 10 people in South Africa to give me 100,000 each, we'll be able to do this ourselves. But we had 8 people to give us 100,000 each. And within 2 months, we raised over a million rand, 1.2 million, which was enough to start the radio station. So on the practical side, that's how Radio Veritas came to be. Our concern was to reach the simple people and the majority of the Catholics in South Africa. We didn't have a license, so what we wanted to do was to try and reach as many as possible. Now, it's not possible in South Africa to have a radio station to reach the whole country. South Africa is quite big. Mm-hmm. So we have categories of radio. We have what they call geographical area radios and community radios. And this is controlled by what is known as ICASA, that's the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa. And they grant the licenses. So you have to apply to them, and you can only apply at certain times of the year and so on. And then we can also apply for what they call special licenses, which enabled one to broadcast on a very small, low-powered FM frequency, 1 kilowatt, for a period of 30 days, 1 month. And we did that for several occasions. It was quite an involved procedure to apply for the license, but at least that gave us a facility of broadcasting in an area of about 30 kilometers in radius. Mm-hmm. And we also broadcast for a while on shortwave, which didn't need the permission of the authorities. So that was more or less what we did. We also tried to broadcast on satellite. It was very expensive. And eventually we moved into another little satellite system for 6 months until our present supplier, that's DSTV, MultiChoice, they approached us and said, would you like to broadcast on our platform? Which we accepted on a barter agreement basis. In other words, you tell the Catholics that you're broadcasting on DSTV and you won't have to pay any fee to broadcast on our platform. So that's what we're doing at the moment. We're broadcasting on the internet as well as on satellite. And so we reach the whole of Southern Africa. And we have listeners in many countries of Southern Africa, but mainly in South Africa.
Yes. So you said the whole of Southern Africa, which means you reach up to
Zambia. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Southern Tanzania.
Malawi.
I think it is.
Yes.
As far up as Southern Tanzania.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's quite a big footprint.
It is.
And that's on the satellite. Unfortunately, we don't reach the whole of Africa.
So tell me a little bit about your programs.
Linda's our station manager, and she used to be our production manager, so she's fully informed about our programs.
Well, we do devotional programs, and we have a live mass in the studio every day. We try and do programs which speak of where we are, speak to the needs of people, So, for example, we have a program in Sesotho every day, which is a program for domestics, because domestics have access to DSTV, to satellite television, and it's informing them of their rights, labor laws. We used to have someone who came in from the labor department once a week. He hasn't come for the last few weeks. So it's a real service orientated. We obviously have a lot of scripture programs. We have magazine programs into which we put features. I think we do have a lot of inspirational stuff. We have a wonderful youth program run by the youth, done by the youth themselves. They've just completed a very good documentary on HIV/AIDS. Excellent. They've also just done something on the xenophobia. We like to encourage the youth because they're going to be our future broadcasters and they are going to be the future rulers of the land eventually. So we like to encourage them to get involved in the real issues.
We also have a classical music program every day, an hour-long program. I do a program every day from 5 to 6, which is the evening prayer of the church, followed by nice relaxing music to the top of the hour, to 6 o'clock. And that's a very popular program.
I've heard it's a very popular program.
Yes.
We do news.
You do news?
Yes, we do news twice a day. And then, of course, we do carry the Vatican Radio English half hour.
We're very honoured. Now, you were saying earlier that you have this program in Sesotho, which brings up an issue. South Africa is home to many languages. How do you deal with that?
We try to give as many languages as possible, but it's not easy. And so we do, in the African languages, we do Sesotho and Zulu. Then we do Afrikaans, 1 hour a week. Yes. We do Portuguese, 3 hours a week,
now. Yes.
Because we try and cater for everyone. We feel we have to. The lingua franca of the station is English. But we do try and cater for all Catholics. And of course, you know, in South Africa now, with things having changed, there are a lot of French-speaking, Portuguese-speaking people who have moved into South Africa. So we need to cater, and many, many of them are Catholics.
We did also do a program in French at one stage. We haven't now for some time. But I think we want to get back to a French program again, because we have a lot of people from French-speaking Africa in South Africa.
How important is radio in Southern Africa?
Interesting now. The facts are that 94% of the population actually listen to radio. So it is very important, because it's the poor people in South Africa, the rural people, who listen to radio. That's all they have. The sadness for us is that we're broadcasting only on this platform of satellite television and radio. So the poor people in the rural areas, unless they had that, which they don't, they won't be able to listen to Radio Veritas. Or unless they've got a computer, they won't be able to listen to Radio Veritas. So it is very important for us to struggle for and achieve our goal, and that is of having a frequency, a medium wave frequency, that's going to reach most of the people in the area where we are. That's in Johannesburg.
And that's an ongoing battle. We've been turned down twice for our license, so we're applying again.
But down the line, we hope one day to move into digital radio. And then once we move into digital radio, I think there's going to be the world is the limit.
Okay, well, let's come back to the Congress then.
Right.
And I see there's a sub-theme here which says a reflection on what it is to be human in order to be at the service of the person.
I think that radio must speak to the human person and to the needs of people. And that's why I don't believe that one can simply broadcast Catholic radio in the air. I think we really need to know who you are and what are the problems that people have on the ground, and that we can address those problems on radio. It's like what we're trying to do with our domestics program every day.
Also, because it's such an intimate means.
Absolutely.
You know, it reaches the individual.
Right.
When I speak on radio, I'm speaking to one person, really.
That's right. I also find that a lot of people are hungry for spirituality. And I remember in the beginnings, I always said, well, you know, on radio, we're not going to have the Mass and the Rosary and all those sorts of things. And there are many, many people who find these devotions, if I can put it that way, on radio very inspiring. And people are hungry, and they need to be fed, and they want to be fed, and they want us to share our spirituality with them to give them hope. And especially in South Africa, I think we need to give people hope, because more and more people are leaving the country. They're saying there's no hope, we're going to go the same way as Zimbabwe, and so on and so forth. And I think we really just need to reach out to people and try and touch their lives where they are, and to give them hope and something to look forward to in the future. Because if we just broadcast bad news, our little motto is the good news for a change. And it's a catchy little phrase, but we really need to give good news to people and to try and inspire them and to help them in their lives.
Especially those who are suffering poverty, those who really, you know, you were saying people are hungry, and it's true, they are hungry for hope. Mm. That is what that mother there in Soweto who has HIV, who is waiting to die, she needs hope that her children are going to be okay, that somebody cares about them. And we need to be addressing her situation, and we need to be finding a way through Radio Veritas, to help her find a way to make sure that those children are fine. There's lots of pain, there's lots of struggle, there's lots of poverty, but there are also lots of wonderful things happening in South Africa and people doing wonderful work. And that's another thing that I really believe that we must do on radio, is showcase the wonderful work that people are doing, so that those who are saying, oh, I want to leave, because they think there is no hope, they can see that if they stay and do something, then there's hope for everyone, you know. This, for me, is a terribly important part of what we do at Radio Veritas, that we showcase the wonderful work that is being done, not only by the church, but also by individual Catholics, individuals actually of any denomination, who are doing wonderful things.
You can hear this is our passion, to do this sort of thing. My greatest disappointment, though, is really the lack of support from the international community for Catholic radio. When I think of what's happening in the Protestant world, the millions of rands that are being pumped into radio and television, for that matter, to try and whip up support and enthusiasm and encouragement and so on from Catholics to support Radio Veritas is not easy. But there are people who are interested, but a lot of people don't have money. And I really hope that from this conference a message is going to go out to our Catholic funding agencies, for example. And people will say, I'm always talking about money and so on. But we can't run a radio station without the basic necessities and without money. And I would really hope that the Catholic world and people with the necessary money could appreciate the importance of radio and how it reaches people and gives them hope and so on. That while it is important to send people to university and to give them a greater knowledge and all the rest of it and the degrees and these are going to be the future leaders and so on, this basic thing that reaches somebody that can only speak a local language, I would hope that the international community and our Catholic funding agencies will say, we need to support this kind of thing in Africa above all places. Go to America, go to Europe, I suppose, there would be a lot of support for these things. But the international support and support from Catholic agencies, I think, is so important, but it's so difficult to find anybody willing to support Catholic radio.
Do you have an ongoing relationship with the Pontifical Council for Social Communications?
It's not an ongoing relationship. I have personally known people at the Pontifical Council for many years, but I think that is important to have that relationship with the Pontifical Council, as important as it is for us to have a relationship with you at Vatican Radio. You know, we have an infrastructure in the church second to none.
Exactly.
You know, if you consider, you have a little parish in South Africa, which is linked to a diocese, to the conference, to the Southern African conference and so on. We are the envy of other churches. Mm. And we don't use this reticulation network as well as we should. And I think if we had a lot more cooperation within Africa and in the whole world, in fact. Maybe what we could do also is use modern technology, which is at our disposal now, this whole internet, digital technology and so on, to bring radio into the very fabric of the church, that we can share in a greater way about what's happening here, what's happening in South America and in other parts of the world, to use this network that we have throughout the world and especially throughout Africa, to reach people and to work together and so on. I think that is so important.
And now Father Jim Brand continues in his series of reflections on the Book of Psalms.
Hello, it's Father Jim. I'm looking each week a little bit at the Psalms. We've said something about the Psalms of praise and the Psalms of thanksgiving, where people in their distress called out to God and God answered their prayer. Psalms of petition are sometimes people, you know, in great distress, feeling that they can come to the sanctuary or pray privately. There's also processional psalms, like this one, Psalm 24. Can you imagine a big procession all coming to the temple? And again, there's a dialogue in it. First of all, there's a sort of Psalm 24, a prayer of praise. To Yahweh belong earth and all it holds, the world and all who live in it. He himself founded it on the ocean, based it firmly on the nether sea. You remember when we looked at Psalm 104, the idea of the earth like a sort of digestive cookie floating on the waters. Who has the right to climb the mountain of Yahweh? In other words, to go up to the temple, to Jerusalem. Who the right to stand in his holy place? He whose hands are clean. So, all you people got dirty hands, go and wash first. Whose heart is pure. Confess your sins, in other words. Whose soul doesn't pay homage to worthless things. And who never swears to a lie. The blessing of Yahweh is his, vindication from God, his Saviour. Such are the people who seek him, who seek the presence of God, of Jacob. So those are the people invited now to the temple. Wash your hands, confess your sins, we've reached the entrance of the temple. We call out to the gatekeeper. Gates, raise your arches. Rise, you ancient doors. Let the King of Glory in. Because we're carrying the Ark of the Covenant, who's enthroned on the Ark, which is the King of Glory. Somebody inside says, who is this King of Glory? In other words, what's the password, you might say? Yahweh the strong, the valiant. Yahweh valiant in battle. Gates, raise your arches. Rise, you ancient doors. Let the King of Glory in, calls everyone. The gatekeeper says, who is this King of Glory? They reply, he's Yahweh Sabbath, King of Glory, he. So I presume the gates were opened, and then they went. Amen.
That's all from the English feature programme and from me, Linda Bordoni, today. But we will be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.